knows me now, and he died for me. He loved me then, and he loves me now. Oh, how can it be? He saw my face. He knew the place I would be today. He knew me then. He knows me now. Some people say that he died one day, but that was long ago. Well, I'm sure that he was a very good man, but me he did not. Listen, my friend, what I say is true, that he knew me, and he sure knew you. He knew you then, he knows you now, and he loves you. He knows you now, and he died for you. He loved you then, and he loves you now. Oh, I know it's true. He saw you. He knows us now, and he loves us still somehow.
Dear friends, I'm introducing Dr. Walter Martin. He was one of the best teachers exposing cults. He founded the Christian Research Institute and created the well-known radio program about various denominations. Today the program is called The Bible Answer Man. Today's program will be addressing Mormonism, what Walter called the maze of Mormonism. Even if you're not involved, being a believer, the missionaries seem to know who is and will knock on your door sooner or later. Mormons know that believers are looking to serve in some capacity, and they have a convincing way of making them believe that it is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, his church, when they are having a different Jesus and do not believe in the Holy Spirit as believers do. Satan knows how to make believers believe a lie. It's best to be prepared to witness the truth to the missionaries. For me, it was a great way to help me understand the Bible. There will be 4 talks on this subject, approximately 15 minutes each.
Close quote. You have got to learn how to become gods. That has a familiar ring to it for those who are familiar with Holy Scripture. It certainly is not the Christian doctrine of the Trinity. In the beginning, the gods all got together and decided to create. It's not Christian theology. And if God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man, and if the Father has a body of flesh and bones, the Bible knows nothing about it. And we must ascertain the truth from Holy Scripture. So I would like to go to the Bible and to demonstrate what Scripture has to say and to test what Joseph Smith says by Scripture. I was preaching in a church in Candor, New York a few years ago, and I had been followed from town to town by two carloads of Mormon missionaries. They knew of my published itinerary from a magazine, and they were following me across New York State from church to church. And they would get up in the question period and question me, and then they would sit down. We got to be rather friendly after a while, after two or three churches. One night, we got to discussing some of these things in the question period, and I pointed out that every young Mormon male, member of the priesthood, is seeking for exaltation. He wants to become a god. And when I pointed this out, some of the people in the church were shocked, terribly shocked. And I thought, well, there are some Mormons here. Why not ask them? So I asked one of the Mormon missionaries, whom I knew, to stand up and tell the people. So he stood up rather sheepishly. I said, tell the people. I said, tell them the truth. Tell them that you really hope to become a god someday. They really want to know. Everybody looked at him so closely. And he said, in the providence of my heavenly Father, someday I do hope to become a god. And all the people just were totally flustered. They'd never heard this before. And I said, do you know where that doctrine came from? He said, why, yes. He said, that came from Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. You know that. You've been preaching it for the last couple of weeks. And I said, no. I said, actually, I said, it doesn't come from Joseph and Brigham. It comes from the Bible. He said, well, he says, that should make it even stronger. He says, because you don't believe Joseph and Brigham. All you believe is the Bible. I said, right. I said, I want you to turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 3, and I want to show you where this doctrine came from. Return to it. Now the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you shall become as gods. Now I want you to compare that with the last sermon of Joseph Smith. And you have got to learn how to become gods. Well, Joseph didn't think this one up, neither did Brigham. This one was thought up by the Prince of Darkness personally. Belief in it got us expelled from the Garden of Eden. And the Mormons who are believing it today are being prevented from entering the kingdom of heaven because of it. Same doctrine. Same source, same destiny, eternal judgment. So if you really want to know where the doctrine came from, here it is, Genesis chapter 3. Satan is the author of the doctrine that you can become a god. But the scripture says you're never going to make it because God has reserved this honor of divinity for himself alone. Now, should you have any doubt about it, let's go to the scripture and find out what the Bible has to say about the nature of God. This is very important. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 43, a very marvelous passage of scripture. Verse 10. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen. I want you to notice the progression here. That you may know, number one, that you may believe. Number two, that you may understand me. Number three, is that clear enough? Know, believe, and understand. I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither will there be after me. No Mormon is going to make it. God says I have an exclusive on Godhood. and nobody makes it but me. Why? I am the Lord. Verse 11. Beside me there is no Savior. Verse 12. I have declared and I have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord. I am God. End of argument. Now Mormonism says that there is more than one God. They point to the fact that there are gods mentioned in the Bible. Satan is called God of this world. In the Psalms it is written, ye are gods, speaking of the rulers of Israel. Moses was spoken of as a god in the eyes of Pharaoh. What do we mean by this? 1 Corinthians 8 also says, Lord's many and God's many. Mormons love these passages. And the terrible part about it is the average Christian does not deal with it. But let's deal with it tonight so we understand it. There is really only one God by nature. You can make a God out of anything. You can make a God out of an angel. You can make a God out of a person. You can make a God out of money. You can make a God out of status. You can make a God out of sex. You can make a God out of anything you want by worshiping it. But there is only one God by nature. One God who is self-existent. One God who is all-powerful, all-knowing. One God who is almighty and one God revealed, clear to us in Scripture. Now, by acknowledging the fact that there is only one God by nature, we get directly to the heart of what the Bible is teaching. If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, you will see that Paul explained this to the complete satisfaction of anybody, even a Mormon who is willing to look hard at it and see what the apostle was teaching. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. Writing to pagans, the apostle says, howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are not gods. There's only one God by nature. One God who exists by himself eternally. You can make a god or a goddess out of anything. So there are lords many and gods many in heaven and earth. But the apostle continues in 1 Corinthians 8, for us, one God the Father, one Lord, Jesus Christ. An idol is nothing in itself. So simply worshiping something doesn't make it God. You can call something a god, but not God by nature. Please make that distinction in your reasoning. It's an important one. Because what separates Mormonism from Christianity is the difference between polytheism and monotheism. And you ought to write that down. Your dictionary can give it to you. What is polytheism? The belief that there is more than one God. You don't have to worship them. All you have to do is believe they exist. And Mormons believe that there are many gods. The Bible says there's only one. Only one God. That is the core of Judaism and Christianity, which are monotheistic. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. Beside me there is none other. What we are getting here is a repetition of the uniqueness of God in the Bible. We are not getting Mormon theology. We are getting Christian theology. Galatians chapter 3 also tells us something else. Verse 20. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. God is one. Not many, one. So what have we learned? We've learned from Genesis chapter 3 that Joseph's doctrine that you can become a god originated with the devil. And secondly, we learned from the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's only one God by nature, the eternal and living God. And we have learned also from our lecture on Jehovah's Witnesses last night on the doctrine of the Trinity, that this one God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, a very important point is raised here, and I want to bring it into focus. The Mormons say, and I quote Joseph Smith, the Father has a body of flesh and bone as tangible as man's. Does he really? Does God the Father have a body as tangible as ours? Is this Christian theology? Is God an exalted man? Well, let's find out. Jesus Christ gave the only description in the New Testament of his Father. The only one. It's found in John chapter 4, verse 24. You ought to mark it down in your Bibles. Jesus described the nature of God. What did he say? God is a spirit. Or as the Greek puts it, God is spirit. God is spirit. Now naturally, you're going to ask me the logical question that follows. What is spirit? And I can answer that by asking you to cross-reference John 4:24 with Luke chapter 24, verses 37 through 39. Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, as I pointed out, in dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses who don't believe in his bodily resurrection. They thought, his disciples thought, that he was what? A spirit. What did Jesus say to them? He said, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Handle me and see. A spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see me have. So one thing we know about a spirit does not have flesh and bone. That is incontrovertible revelation. Because of that, we are positive that when Joseph Smith says the Father has a body of flesh and bone as tangible as man, he is diametrically opposite to the teaching of Jesus Christ. I cannot help but remember an incident in my ministry when I was scheduled to preach in a church and had made preparations to go there, and I received a telephone call from a very harried pastor in Upper New York State. He said, Dr. Martin, please come and preach in our town right away. He said, we've got a whole horde of Mormon missionaries that have descended on our community. He said, they're living in the houses of some of the people here. He said, it's confused so many Christians. He said, for the first time that I can remember in this community, all the Christian churches are agreed on one thing. We need help. I said, well, we can get the Baptists, the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians, the Congregationalists, and everybody else to agree that they've got a common foundation, there must be something to it. I'm awfully sorry I can't come. He said, but you've got to come. He said, we have to have you come and deliver a lecture on this subject. He said, we just haven't got the answers. I said, well, I'll be glad to send you some pamphlets and tracts for distribution. He said, please come. I said, I can't. I said, I'm booked. There was silence on the phone for a minute. He said, we're going to have a prayer meeting. I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, we're going to pray that God cancels that booking. And he says, if God cancels that booking, you'll come here, won't you? I said, if God cancels the booking, I'll come. I was sure that I wasn't going. About 2 weeks later, I got a telephone call from the man who was handling my bookings. He said, I got a telephone call. He said, you know, you're booked in such and such a week. I said, yeah. He said, they want to change the date on that. He said, I don't know what the reason is, but he said something in the church. And he said, they want to move it up. And he said, that gives you a week off. Does that make you happy? I said, it certainly does, but I won't be off. He said, why not? I said, I'm going to be in Corning, New York. He said, how do you know? I said, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. But I'm going to be there. I called this little minister up on the telephone and I said, brother, do you remember the call you put through 2 weeks ago? He said, hallelujah, God has answered prayer. That fella had a direct connection. I said, okay, you win, I'll be there. I said, they canceled. He said, praise God. He met me at the airport and I came. If you ever wanted to see a community aroused, they were aroused. They were hanging out the windows of the church. The first two or three rows were filled with Mormon missionaries. And they had elected a spokesman. And when I was going through this material on Mormon theology, on the nature of God, and I ended by saying, Mormon theology is not Christian theology. It is not Jewish theology. It is not Trinitarian theology. It is polytheistic theology, and it excludes them from consideration as Christians. On this, all Christian scholars are in agreement. The question period began. This young Mormon stood up and he said, Dr. Martin, he said, I appreciate your presentation. He said, quite obviously you've done your homework. And he said, I'm not here to debate with you. He said, however, he said, I would like to make a few remarks and ask a question. I said, well, you can't make any remarks, but you can ask any question you want. He said, all right, let me put it this way. He said, you don't believe in the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, or Doctrine and Covenants. I said, I do not. He said, but you do believe in the Bible. I said, I do. He said, if I can prove to you from the Bible that God is an exalted man, will you believe it? I said, I will. He said, would you believe that Joseph and Brigham were prophets? I said, I will. He said, then let's go to our Bibles. You should have heard the Christians go to their Bibles.
Friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wish to be in the rapture, say this prayer with me right now, okay? It will be available on Cephas-Radio.com in case you can't follow it. Cephas, Cephas-Radio.com. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was the only one who was without sin, and able and willing to take the penalty for all our sins by shedding his blood, so we can be assured that he paid the penalty in full. He said the following before he died on the cross, "It is finished." God, Father, I humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness for my sins. I repent of them. I wish to become your child, born again of the Holy Spirit, who will be my teacher, my comforter, and my connection to you, Father God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. I wish to make him my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. This commitment will change me, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Remember, God is in control and allowing his word to be fulfilled when the time is right. Our assignment is to keep you informed as to not be deceived. Satan comes in a perfect coat. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Mark chapter 13, verse 22, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." The elect have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Jesus taught in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Time is up. Celebrate our 25th anniversary with us at CephasThriftShop.com. CephasThriftShop.com. We are selling our inventory at a 90% discount, books, DVDs, CDs, and etc. The DVDs and CDs are originals and new, and the books are described. Join our monthly newsletter free at go-cephas.com. My email address is r421@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends about us. God bless you, and hope to share with you next week. Shalom, Rita Williams.